friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Greco joins us right now. Former Browns guard, current analyst. John, how many games do you think the Browns are going to win?
Good morning, guys. Happy Tuesday. How many games do I think the Browns are going to win?
Yeah.
If you asked me last week, I think my answer would have been different. This year, today, right now, I think they're going to win seven games.
Seven? What did you think last week? What did you think they were going to win last week?
7.5.
Well, 7's actually a pretty nice number, so never mind, because I'm going, man, if they win 4 or 5 games, we're doing all this fighting and all this arguing over a team that can win 4 or 5 games. But you're saying 7 wins, John. That's pretty outstanding.
You know what, Ken? I mean, you know me. Maybe I'm a little bit naive. Maybe I live in a bubble here, but I'm always a glass-half-full guy, and, you know, we can dissect things as the year goes on. But, you know, as much gloom and doom as there is surrounding this Browns football camp, training camp, I'm here this morning to try to shine some light and positivity on the situation. Could they win some more than 4 and 5 games? Sure. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. And it just seems like the news that I'm hearing and the people I'm talking to, there's some of the situations surrounding the quarterback room, some injuries, some things that some adversity that they've already had to face in this young campaign. It's not going to be easy, so we'll see. I'm sticking to that number, and I know you guys are probably rolling your eyes behind the scenes at me, but I can live with that.
That's fine. I was just a little bit surprised. I thought it was going to be lower than that.
Is that number, John, based on either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett getting a certain amount of starts?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what that magic number is going to be. And let's assume that something that I don't want to, I hate talking about injuries. I hate doing that, but let's assume that nothing like that happens. And one of those two guys is just able to go out and just effectively lead the offense and things are rolling. To answer your question, I do. Yes.
John Greco joining us on the show. So what do you think the veterans' responses would be or their thoughts would be if anybody but Joe Flacco started the season at quarterback?
I think the veterans, and I think really all of us, I don't think you have to be a player to kind of see that and have this opinion. I think people would be kind of scratching their heads and thinking, well, you know, are we trying to win early or no? What's the plan here? Because if you try one of the young guys out there week one, I don't want to say you're waving the white flag, because look, one of those guys can absolutely come alive here in these preseason games and make believers out of guys making the decisions on who actually starts the season. I'm very much well aware of some of the news and some of the performances. You know, we talked about Dylan Gabriel. I've heard, a lot about him this week, on your show and throughout the, national media. But, I just think if that were to happen, I would really need to see one of them step up and really, really shine and make a lot of noise, in the joint practices and the preseason. They would really have to take advantage of all their reps and really shine and succeed. For that to even be considered. And if all of that happens, then you say, okay, well, yeah, there might be some bumps and bruises early, but, the plan is to try to get this guy in, throw him in the fire, see if he's capable, and see if he can lead us to some wins. Because the worst thing that could happen is you try one of them out there early, things go bad, then their confidence is in the tank, and then what do? Do you ride it out from there and it gets even worse and worse and worse, or do you pull them, and then what kind of messages does that send?
John Greco joined us on the hotline. Yesterday, the Browns bring in another quarterback, somebody people are familiar with here, former Pro Bowler, Tyler Huntley. With that said, how do you feel the Browns have handled this whole quarterback situation here in camp, the way they've divvied up all the reps?
Well, I think they're trying to do the best they can right now, given the injury situation. It sucks when you have soft tissue injuries, and You know, those are tricky. There's no clear cut answer as to when they're returning. You know, we hear Coach Stefanski say, "Oh, there's day by day, week by week. We're, you know, analyzing it. We'll let you know. He'll be out there. He'll be recovering. He'll be working." But the fact of the matter, those soft tissue injuries are individually based. They're case by case. Some guys heal quicker than others. It depends on what position you're in. And I wonder, you know, Kenny Pickett right now, you know, I think he, in his mind, you know, maybe thought he had a legitimate chance to start the season as the number one quarterback. So now you get into a situation where, you know, is he rushing to come back because he's nervous that he might lose that opportunity? Or does he sit there and look and know something we don't know, and where they're telling him, hey, just, you know, we need you ready for week one. Rest this thing, sit tight, get the mental reps. Because certainly, you know, what I'm seeing and hearing, there's no one behind him that's just lighting up the stat sheet that's at risk of jumping him to where he's like, I got to get back. I can't let this guy take my job. At least that's my opinion. So, you know, the whole Joe Flacco thing, he's going to go out there and do what we expect. I mean, he's going to deliver the ball. He's going to throw touchdowns. He might throw some interceptions. Is his mobility there as much as Kenny Pickett's? Probably not. But now that's a whole other question with the soft tissue hamstring injury. Is that going to limit his mobility and some of the things that made him dangerous with his escape abilities and try to, you know, extend plays and you know, scramble for first downs? Is he going to be limited there? Is he going to be more, you know, stationary in the backfield in the pocket because he's nervous about pushing that hamstring?
So, John, go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
John Greco joining us on the Fan Hotline. John, so they brought in Tyler Huntley. How do you think that they handle all the snaps on Friday in the preseason game?
Great question. I'm assuming, are we assuming that Kenny Pickett is not going? Can we say that?
I don't think he is.
Okay.
Lima?
Okay,
so
Yeah. I don't think so either.
I don't either. So I'll answer that question without assuming he's not going. He's not going to be ready. I mean, Joe Flacco, is he going to be playing in that? Maybe a series, maybe. But then they're going to pull him, and it's going to be, a healthy Dylan Gabriel if he's ready to go. And then you're going to see Shador Sanders and Tyler Huntley. Obviously, Tyler Huntley knows Kevin Stefanski well. He's been in the building. He knows the offense. It'll be a quick turnaround for him, and he'll be asked to play. And that's the nature of the NFL. There's no holding hands and, oh, sorry, this guy's, you know, just got here. You're thrown right into the fire, and that's the reality of training camp. Injuries happen, and new guys have to go in. So I think the second half will be interesting. You have a lot of young guys, obviously, in there. You know, I can't see guys like Joel Batonio, Wyatt Teller playing. Maybe I'm wrong. But there will be a lot of the ones that won't play, and rightfully so. They have to play it.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At some point, but you know, you need your best guys healthy for week one in September. And we have that conversation every year. So I would expect Tyler Huntley and Shador Sanders to get a ton of reps. And to start the game, I think these answers will kind of clear up as the week goes on.
Well, that's the next thing I wanted to ask, because you were going over the offensive line, and given that there's been so much of a focus on the reps, more importantly, that Shador has not been able to get with the first teamers, is there a level of irresponsibility in throwing a quarterback like that out there for a large portion of a preseason game? Or is it the total opposite? Like, this is the time, regardless, throw these guys into the fire and let's see what they're made of.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of the latter, Anthony. And when you put a guy in there, you know, you're kind of, I don't want to say dumbing down the offense, but you are. You're putting in guys, you're putting players in a situation where they should be able to execute. You know, are you going to see these exotic, elaborate defenses and formations and pressures? You know, yeah, because defensive coordinators are going to want to see what their guys look like. And you know, deep in the playbook. But offensively, it's going to be a lot of quick throws, quick games, you know, handing the ball off. And really, these preseason games, especially this first one, you know, you want to be able to get through this game, number one, healthy. Number two, eliminate the pre-snap penalties. You know, are they going to have a bunch of situations where they can't get lined up? You can't execute a snap because you can't get guys in the proper positions. So I want to see that. I hate to say that and dumb it down so much, but if it looks like crap and they have 25 penalties because of false starts, illegal motions, illegal shifts, you know, then it's going to be really sloppy and we're not going to be able to make any evaluation. But if you throw a guy in there with whoever's playing offensive line, whoever's around him, everybody's just got to step up. You got to remember all of those guys that are getting these opportunities. It's not like they're not going to be trying. They're going to be doing everything they can to make this roster. So whoever's in there and gets the opportunity, they have to make the best of it. And yeah, the offense will be a little bit vanilla, and maybe that'll cause some of these young quarterbacks and some of these young players in there to relax, settle in. They're actually playing football games. It's not Browns versus Browns. So I think that will give us a better indication of what we can expect moving forward.
John Greco joining us here on the Fan Hotline. You say eliminate pre-snap penalties. Don't I put that on coaching? I know it's kind of a new group of players in so many ways, and the coaching staff has changed a little bit, but man, there was a lot of problems last year. And we find out after the year, you know, you had to basically change out offensive line coaches without telling anybody last year. All the changes you had with the offense, Kevin Stefanski taking back the play calling and things. It's like, well, yeah, you're going to have some pre-snap penalties when you're just changing all this out during the season. So if they have a bunch on Friday, does that put a lump in my throat about the coaching staff?
You know, everything that you just mentioned about the changes from last year, I think those are just moves that when you don't make a change at the head coach or the GM spot when the team is struggling, those are just moves that you're like, well, we have to do something. We can't just roll this same group out here the next year and expect people not to, you know, raise their hand and ask questions about it. So I think those are, maybe we can call them excuses. And you just say, hey, oh, look, yeah, this offensive line coach is bad. Our offensive line clearly took a step back from the Callahan days. So you can argue that. And yeah, I think it's 50-50. A lot of it's on the coach, the pre-snap penalties, but at the end of the day, the coach isn't out there executing the snap and getting the play called in the huddle and executing before the play even starts. So no, that's on the players too. And that's on everybody knowing where they need to line up, you know, being crisp on their motions, really being dialed in mentally. And then you could say, well, is there too many wrinkles? Is there too much? Is there too much on this guy's plates? I've been in offenses where we've had the whole offense's code word, and you have to know the difference between Beyonce and her sister's name to know the difference of what way the play's going. And East Coast, West Coast, there were so many code names. And at the start, I was like, God, this is so stupid. Why are we doing this? And then you just buy in, and you're like, okay, now it makes sense. Let me study it. Let me learn it. Let it become a part of me. So that when I go and put my hand in the dirt and have to block Haloti Ngata or Geno Atkins, I don't have to think about that stuff. It just comes naturally. So when guys start doing that and really make it a point of emphasis to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there and line up and execute pre-snap stuff and make it an importance, and it goes on the coach too to make it an emphasis of practice, that's when you'll see those eliminated. So, yeah, if we see a ton of those, people are going to be very frustrated because it's going to be a lot of carryover from last year.
How quickly did you know, John, we're talking to John Greco, when a rookie, say a defensive line rookie or a linebacker rookie, how long would it take you to know that, oh my God, this guy might be really good? Because the stuff I'm seeing out of Mason Graham looks awesome. And, you know, their linebacker as well. Like they look like they might have hit on these two picks, but it's so early. So how quickly did it take you to know?
Yeah, I think it happens really fast. I think you find out right away, to be honest with you. You know, it's different when you're just in, you know, shorts and golf polos and you know, soft hats doing one-on-ones together because it's a little bit, you know, unfair for offensively, and I could say that because I played offensive line. But when you get these guys in situations where you hear them communicating, they don't look like a deer in headlights, they're moving well, defensive linemen, you can feel their hands. If they have heavy hands that right off the rip, you're like, okay, this guy's got heavy hands. He's a good anchor. He's difficult to move. You see how they come off the ball. Okay, he's got some really good lateral quickness, good first step, good reaction. And then when you get into one-on-ones, you see him, hey, does he bull rush? If I stop it, does he have a counter? Or does he just try to beat a dead horse? What does he do? Does he have multiple moves? Is he successful at them? Does he go back to them? Did he beat me one time? And does he go back to that, or does he try something new? If I stop him, does he continue to work on that? Does he figure why he got beat, or does he even abandon it? So a lot of those little small details tell me that a young defensive tackle or defensive lineman in general has got it. And then you see them getting better and better each day. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. And right off the rip, if a guy runs into you and you stop him and you're standing straight up, you're probably like, oh boy, this guy doesn't have it. He doesn't have the umph, the pop. But that's not what I've heard out of Mason Graham, to your point. And as far as linebackers, I think that's really easy. When you go to the second level and you try to put your hands on this guy, and then all of a sudden he's like a ghost, an aberration, and he's by you, that's a scary feeling when you're like, okay, this guy's got some quicks. I better, you know, get my stuff together when I approach him. Or if he pops you, that's always fun. When you get the pads on the first day and you go up to the second level and a linebacker gives you a little bit of chin music, then you kind of, you know, laugh and smile to yourself and bite down on your mouth guard a little bit more because you're like, okay, this guy's got some juice to him. And that just builds the excitement. And I know the defensive guys in those rooms see that. And offensively, you're like, okay, we got a couple dogs on that side of the ball that you're excited about. So I think to answer your question, you find out early. And then you see it often as they improve as camp goes on.
John Greco, find him on Twitter at John_Greco77. John, thank you for the time, bud. All the best.
Guys, always fun. Talk to you next week.
John Greco on the Fan Hotline, 216-474-0092.
Hey, friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.